Hi there, Ife George here. Welcome to another episode of the Illimitable You podcast, where you engage with conversations that will renew and transform your mind until you know for sure that nothing is impossible and therefore you are limitless.
On this episode, I'll be speaking with my friend, Fisaya, and we'll be starting my new series, Start Over. Welcome, Fisaya. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Lovely. Remember that the first time we ever spoke was sometime after an Instagram live I did with this same topic, Start Over. Right. And it was fascinating that the conversation we had afterward was in the line of this. And I think the question about, were we going to build a community around this? Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
And I think it was from that point that we started talking, and up until now, that's about 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it was 2021, probably late 2021.
Right. But good to finally be having this conversation.
Finally
be having a conversation. I'm glad to have you here. And I know that this series is supposed to speak to that idea of starting anything new. And I think because we're always starting something new, aren't we? At one point or the other, you will do something that is not the same be what you were doing the last year, or you know, the last month or whatever. It's from as simply as maybe going through one school into another, as simply as maybe getting married, because of the start, or even parenting, that's the start. Or
getting start married is not simple though.
It's okay, maybe. But it's simple for me. No, I understand. Don't call what's easy for you as easy because it's easy for you. So yeah, I'd agree with you. But yes, you know, every single phase or stage of life, we start something. And I consider the idea that this frame of mind that you start with mostly is dependent on the state of your thoughts in the moment when you're starting, right? It's possible that someone starts with a lot of courage because maybe they have knowledge about what they're starting. They're not in any way bothered because they know already what they're getting into. But many times when people start something new, it's always shrouded with a lot of uncertainty. You're not sure what's going to happen next. You know, probably sometimes anxiety, maybe sometimes stress, overwhelm, and all of that. I remember having to relocate with my family a couple of years ago, and it moved so fast because it's almost about 4 years, isn't it? And I remember that period. For me, that was the first time that I would say I really understood what uncertainty was. Because I didn't know what to expect, right? It was going to be my first time in the UK. And I understood that if I got there, I would go as the person that I was back in Nigeria. And to me, I'll set up my business just the same way I'd done in Nigeria. Unfortunately, I got there and COVID hit. So all the drive and motivation and aspiration that I had was killed by COVID. Because there was nothing I could do. I couldn't motivate myself out of it or create any form of, you know, drive or what have you, because everybody was home. And, you know, I worked in event and project space and all my things happened physically. So if people were not coordinating or planning or doing any events, what was I doing? Nothing. And so at that point, it was like a new life had to begin. The first time I came face to face with my reality that you better have multi expressions or you have nothing at all. Because if this one part short, that means that you have no expression. And so I can imagine for people that get to the point of their life where they feel like one stage is off, I need to start another stage. And there's so much uncertainty about the next stage because they've not been there before, right? I know that's something that you can allude to because your story, you know, kind of is similar, having to leave something for another, right? Not only just something for another in the same city, but something for another in another country, right? Do you want to start off the conversation from there?
Yes, sure. In another continent, actually. In another continent, yes. Thank you so much, Ife. Thank you. I would say that it's not an easy road. It's not an easy journey. And for everyone who is listening to us that is trying to start over, that is trying to take the first step, that is trying to take the next step, please be encouraged, right? These are people who have gone through some of the things you are looking to go through. And we are here now, we are thriving. It's not an easy step. Nobody says it's easy, but it's doable. A bit of background about myself. Lived in Nigeria my entire life. I was born in Lagos, raised with my parents and my three siblings. Went to school, Covenant University in Nigeria. And then out of school, university, I was interested in fashion. And so I went to fashion school again after getting my degree. And then I did that for a while. And I thought, okay, you know, I could actually start a business from doing this. So I started by myself making outfits. I did that for like a year and I employed my first staff in 2015, right? And in that same year, I also got a professional offer. So a job, a corporate job to start working. And it was something that my parents really wanted me to do. Like they're like, oh, you know, you did so well in school. Like it would be good for you to have this type of professional backing, you know, have this professional network, you know, do professional work, because it didn't look like what I was doing was professional. And I myself, I even though I had a vision for what I was doing, but I just felt like, okay, I needed to be in a more structured environment. I needed to see how things are done, rather than just being a one-man business, doing my own one-man thing. So somehow I managed to see that through from 2014 up until 2020 when the pandemic hit. Now, in 2019, I'd been making plans to move abroad to get my MBA. Now, an MBA for me has been something that I have been looking forward to doing ever since I left university. I knew I was going to get an additional degree, but I didn't know when, right? Yeah. I didn't know when, but I knew, okay, because from reading the stories of people, I read all these great people, I read a lot of biographies, and I just look people up and read their stories. Yeah. And it was a common factor. They got an MBA somewhere abroad. So I was like, okay, this is fun. This is something that I should do sometime. But as I was working and, you know, making money, I wasn't really sure that I wanted to live the life I was living and pause it and go to school. But sometime in 2019, I had some sort of a eureka moment, and I decided that, you know what, probably I should go and get this thing in 2020, because if not now, when, right? I was like, you know, I'll probably maybe get married or something. Do I want to be doing school, you know, when I am at an advanced age? It's probably the time. And so I was lucky that I had a sister who had gone through the process, right? And, you know, somebody who could tell me. And that's why the stories of people are important. That's why it's good for you to identify one person. If it's just one person that has done something that you're looking to do, right? It's very important. Hear their story. Hear how they did it. If you're going to find them, it doesn't matter how close you are, the proximity, if it's somebody you know personally or if it's someone you find on the internet, just find that one person, right, that has done or that is charting the course that you are looking to do. And so I had her and I started to see, okay, get my information. What do I do? What is the next step? What is this? What is that? I started to put all my reading. It was a very, very strenuous process because at the time I was working, I was doing my business, I was preparing for exam, I was preparing for interviews, I was writing essays. It was a lot, but I knew what I wanted to get, right? And I did not let the stress of the immediate period deter me from what I was looking to get in the future, because I knew that there was something ahead for me, right? And I put all of that in 2019, going into 2020, and then got my admissions in the heat of COVID. Like, nobody even expected that. Like, I didn't even know, like, okay, what is this? I remember getting one of my admissions, I think it was the 3rd of April. We're already in the lockdown. Lockdown started in March. And I was just thinking, okay, wow, like, now I have this admission, but what next time am I going to get there? Like, what are we going to do? But somehow I just continued the process, speaking to people. And then we started virtually from Nigeria in August because I couldn't get my visa to travel abroad in The program typically starts in the summer. So we started in the summer of 2020, which was August. But because I didn't get a visa, they made provision for people from other countries, like people from Nigeria, from Ghana, from Kenya, from India, different countries, internationals that couldn't be in the US. We just had like some type of arrangement where you would be doing the sessions. In sync with everybody. So it was tough. Imagine doing classes, starting your class by 4 p.m., which is 8 a.m. Arizona time, and then ending at about midnight. And after ending your class at about midnight, you're going for another meeting. And that 1 p.m., or 1 a.m. rather, for them, it's just like their own 5 p.m. So everybody's still ginger, like, oh, they're trying to do this, trying to do that. Okay. So it was tough. But looking at the fact that, okay, there was hope in front of me. I have gotten a foot in the door, and I know somehow I'll still be able to get to where I am going to, and still this move will still become a reality somehow. You know, that kind of kept me going. And then in towards the end of 2020, the embassies opened up. I got my visa, and then I traveled abroad to begin, you know, this entire new chapter of my life.
Right. I mean, I've heard quite a number of things that I think we should, you know, pull out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about having explored multiple biographies there, and, you know, just seeing that people that are notable in this life seem to have a common path, you know, especially the ones who, of course, are notable based on academics, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That kind of set the vision for you. And what out there was the vision. Before you got to this part, you had come to the place where you had something that was propelling you toward something. Yeah. Is that something you had always known that you were going to do, or it was just in that period of studying people and exploring all that that you came about this decision?
So in the university was when I came about this whole grand plan, getting my MBA. And it was true. Now, I don't know if it was maybe a particular course that, I don't know if it was from a course, right? Or if it was my own personal research. I search things a lot on the internet. I look up people a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just go on Wikipedia, check people out, check their stories. If they've written any books, autobiographies, read it. So in the process of doing all of that, checking people out, I check people, not just in academia, but people who are doing business, right? And that's where I see the story about, okay, you know, these people went to school, they got an MBA, they did this, they did that. And just generally, like maybe when I'm just reading the news or I'm just watching something, I just see somebody that strikes me and I'm like, oh, let me find this person out and check. So I guess to answer your question, it was in school. Before university, I had no idea. I had no clue of what I was going to do after university. So it was when I was in university, when I was looking through the stories of people, that I actually came across the MBA, and I decided that I wrote it down. I was like, okay, this is something that I will do in the future. But I just wasn't sure when exactly.
Right. I mean, I like the idea that there was the vagueness first, or even, you know, clearly it wasn't in view, and then it got in view, and then you were able to pursue it. And regardless of what could have been a possible stopper, COVID, and got here. And what I was trying to drive at is how critical it is to, even if it was inexistent, set a vision. Because at that point, I mean, I reckon, and part of what I would typically always tell people, I reckon the people are either pulled towards something or pushed from something.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're pulled by vision or you're pushed by fear that you're running away from something, one thing will move you, right? Because we are always going to be prepared as far as life is concerned and as far as movements happen. Mm-hmm. Life is moving. So even if you think you're stagnant, you can become redundant, you can become obsolete, you can become anything, but stagnancy is not one of it. You're either retrogressing or you're progressing.
Right.
And so the idea that there was something to pull you, you know, is what I wanted to pull out, right? And there was something else you mentioned, speaking about your sister. And that was something I wanted to bring up here, talking about how associations might have helped and what associations might have helped, and if associations even helped, right? And I know you shed some light on that with your sister, but then are there any other ways that you had associations that helped you through this period, and then how?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, yes, I mentioned my sister as somebody who had gone through the entire process about 2 or 3 years before me. Now, when I was actually going through the process myself, I found somebody who happened to be my cousin who was interested, right, in getting this whole MBA. And so we're like, okay, you know what? Every Sunday, let's meet together and let's study. So he will come to my office and we'll study. So I worked in professional service. I worked in PwC, and the how it was is you always have all these professional exams that you write. So many times when you come to work during the weekends, you probably find people just studying, right? It was a very studious environment. So you find people just there studying. So we'll be there, studying for our own, not professional exams, but we are studying for either GRE or GMAT, study for long. That kind of helped me stay on course because I knew somebody who was actively trying to do the same thing that I was doing. One, I could see somebody that I could benchmark my progress against. How far? How many chapters have you studied? Have you done any mock tests today? Or have you finished? Or have you written this exam? How many essays have you written? What do you think you need to add? Okay, we're interviewing next week. Can we mock interview each other? Can we talk about what we're going to say? Or they've gone through an interview. I asked, okay, how did it go? What questions they ask you? I would also use that to practice. So association really helped a great deal. And in that process as well, there was a group. Do I remember the name of the group now? Of just some people that were trying to get an MBA. So I think it was much later when we all got our admission and were unable to travel. So if you know one person, you tell another person, this person is also got admitted class of 2022. So we'll join a WhatsApp group. So somehow that kind of just made the boarding easier when we're trying to get visa, right? You knew that you're not alone. If someone goes for the visa interview, the person will come back and tell the group, like, oh, this is what they asked. Oh, this is where you guys should prepare. Oh, this is where I missed it. This is how I did well, So association is a big deal, especially when you're doing something that is not familiar, right? And that's why I said, even if you find just one person, right? But make sure you find somebody. Don't do life alone. In the part of Africa that we come from, many times you really want to hide your moves. And of course, I'm not saying tell the whole world what you're doing, but as far as you find one person that is on the same path as you, that is reaching for the same things that you are reaching for, then it's good to join forces with them and see how you guys can do well together.
There's that expression that if you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. And
Right.
I feel like that is something that I've held so dear, because sometimes when I will find myself doing things that I would typically not do, maybe personality preferences and all of that, it's because of the company that I keep in that period, sessions that I connect with. And I understand that even psychologically, it's positive. The environment that you're in does a lot more to determining your
Right.
life, than even your genetics will do. Because I understand that a lot of the time people are concerned with either, background, biology, upbringing, and they forget that the environment you situate yourself in plays a really huge role in defining become. If somebody's exposed consistently to a mediocrity, you are likely to end up as one of the mediocres that environment. And I like how you put it, saying that with the association came that joint drive and joint effort and joint push, and it's just like a synergy of vision, isn't it? Like everyone is gunning for the same thing, and so it's like everyone is everyone's energy. So it's more like if you want to go far, go together, simply, right? Simply. I like how that has played out. I was going to talk about the actions you took, because I feel like what should if someone that listens doesn't even take away, you know, any of the things in the story, they probably can take away the actions that they might need to take. If, for example, starting over through education is something they found crucial. For some people, starting over is not just because they want to get an MBA. For some people, starting over in education is because the foundational education that they've had.
They didn't think it was anything beneficial. I understand.
It's either it's not beneficial based on, you know, what they finally got out with, or they find that that's not the path they want to do. And so just coming to the place where you can tell yourself, look, I can actually restart. I can actually create something new. I can actually get into this new part. I can venture this and all of that. I just want you to throw light on actions that people can take in those areas. If that's cool.
Okay, thank you. So I had a thought about what you said, the last thing you said before you asked me this question. It was similar to something I read. So last weekend, I was on a flight. It was a long flight for like 5 hours. So anytime I'm on those flights, I usually just have a book or something. Or if I'm editing a video, I just always plan to do something. And so I was reading this book, The Psychology of Money. And then it talked about how that people who are entrepreneurial, many times, you would find that the environment that they came from enabled them, right? If you see a father who is entrepreneurial, who has money, who's investing, their child will be more, they will not be as risk averse as the regular person whose parents just, you know, any living, you know, from just the small things that they do. So I thought it's very important. I just wanted to say and add that yes, the environment that you actually grew up in, right? The people you actually see, the examples you actually have, they somehow shape your perspective about life or anything.
Right.
So to answer your question about what actions, so for me, I would say, please define what exactly you want to do, right? If you're starting over in education, you're starting over in life, you're starting over in business, whatever it is you want to do, define it, right? Have it clearly written down. I'm all for writing, right? Write it down, right? Somewhere in your notepad, on your phone, or in a journal, in your book, right? Write it down. And then identify people who have gone through that route. Right. Identify them either on the internet or through a friend of a friend. So either somebody that you know personally, or somebody that you know personally that connects you with somebody, or just someone you find on the internet. There's a lot of information. There are so many people that you can search in different fields and find, okay, their stories. Find those kind of examples and populate your mind so much with the things that they have done. Right. Try to just immerse yourself in their process. If these people are people that have maybe created content or shown things or shared things, try to, as much as possible, read, check it out. Like, you know, just try to just be curious, right? If you have an opportunity to reach out to them, yes, please do. Note that not everybody will reply you, which is fine, because many people also have people that you know, are trying to reach out to them. But immerse yourself in their stories. Follow them, find out the things that they are saying, hear the nuances that they would typically, that people would typically not talk about, but you can make inferences from, because you've actually like listened to them and you have an understanding of what they're saying. So first, writing out what you want to do. Secondly, identifying people. So from identifying people, there you can begin to draw up what your next line of action will be. For someone in the educational space, right, that is trying to move abroad via the education route, I would say that you should first decide what is important to you. Are you trying to get into a school system with like funding, or are you just trying to get into a school because of the brand name or the prestige of the school? Or are you trying to get into a particular location for the school? Or are you just trying to just change your location essentially? Or are you trying to build or are you trying to be part of a larger community, a larger network of people? When you do that, then you can use that information to do some research and find out what kind of schools have a liking to those things that you have prioritized. So if it's funding, right? Okay, what kind of schools will give me funding? If it's branding prestige, of course, you should be looking at like rankings of schools and seeing, oh, what is the top 5, top 10, top 15 schools? That's where I want to start applying to. If it's location, of course, you know the kind of place you want to go to. And then you can just check for schools in California. And then you're like, okay, that's where I'm checking for. So I think carrying out those actions from there, clarity will come on the way, right? You can't know everything at once, but step by step, as you do all those things, you find out the next thing. And you also know there's somebody who has done it that has gone, you know, 50 steps or 100 steps more than what you are doing. So you kind of have a prototype. And that's why that's step number two was important, finding the people. So I think that's a good way to go about it.
Great. I mean, I like how you broke it down, especially the part where you already know why you want to get into it in the first place, and that should guide every other thing. Because I know that there are people that maybe the primary reason they want to get a new education is because they want to start a new life. So it's not because of the education, like it is about the new life. Some, it's just the relocation. You want to get out of your home country, you want to get into another country, and then education route, and you find out that you've picked something that is so irrelevant to the market when you're done, right? It's not even relevant to the market in the present, if you see what I mean. Like, so just even understanding this is what I want to achieve at the end, and this is a possible route to achieving that, right? Because I feel like without that basic research, you probably will just go through a process that maybe will task you, or maybe not, and you get out of it, and then you have to start over again.
Right.
You know, which is always the lot of many people, especially in environments where professional paths are not self-guided, guided by either interest or gifting or skill set. You know, because I know in the Western world, it's easy to disallow yourself from going through the reading like everybody else and then focusing on a professional path because you find yourself interested in that. And okay, nobody's going to judge you. But in our part of the world, you actually must go through school. And many people actually go through not going through with something that they were primarily interested in. Get out of it and you find out, I didn't really want this. You know, and it's more or less like you just find a job to start or something. So when you want to start another path, you're then probably going through the same process of just something that you think might just advance you rather than thinking what will be the end result of this, and then getting people that have gone through it to use that as judgment for your decision. Because of course, the evidence will be that their own reality. And before you get to that place where it will be your own reality, you better find out what your potential realities are.
Right.
So I like how you broke that down. And while you are saying it, I'm considering maybe the possibility that through the process, you might have had really, possibly really tasking periods where, you know, it probably will be like, who sent me? You know, because I know some people wouldn't start just for fear. The unknown.
Right.
And so maybe you want to speak to that place where, you know, the mind needs to be informed, you know, what beliefs should a person even have to get on this kind of journey? What thoughts? Some people, there are limitations all over. It's either financial limitations or social limitations or whatever limitations people might, you know, want to hold on to. But how did you trump? And you can speak to it through the process. How did you trump any possible fears, if you had any, at the beginning till the end?
Okay. So first hurdle was trying to carve out the time to even study. Because, you know, there are exams to be taken. And it was from August of 2019 that I started to realize that, okay, you know, I think this is what I want to do. And I need to start getting serious. But from August to October, I struggled so much with coming back from work or waking up early in the morning to actually study. It's not because there was lack of motivation. It was just because I had so much on my plate. Right. So that was one hurdle. And then in October, I finally decided to wake up. Right. I'm like, you have to do this. You have to find the time. You either make an excuse or you make it happen for yourself. So are you going to make it happen or are you going to keep making excuses? Because the timeline for writing this exam is December or January. If you miss it, that's it till 2021. And I'm so glad that, I didn't miss it because that would have been a different case entirely. So that was one hurdle. I came up with a reading plan. I'd come up with a reading plan in August, but I just didn't follow it through. And then October came, I had to find a way to employ somebody that would literally take my place in my business and be like a manager and manage the other staff, and so that I could create some time to actually sit down and study. So I'll go to work, I'll come back, do some business related things, and then from like 9 p.m. I'll go back to the office. I'll be there from like 9 p.m. to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and then come back home, sleep, wake up the next morning, go to work, come back home, go back to work, study, sleep. Like I literally did that all through November, December, and January. My Christmas was not really a Christmas. I was just studying and studying the whole time. So that was definitely tough. Now, upon that, I still, the exam I wrote, I still failed it. By fail, I mean, well, let me, fail is not a fair word to use because there's no pass and fail. But by my own standards, I expected that I would have scored higher than what I did. And I didn't get that score. So you can imagine after all of the stress, after all the work, after all the hours, after all the investments, and then you still don't do well, and I had to retake the exam. So it was very tasking, but I just kept like, okay, just do it, And I had motivation from people like, my sister, my friends, people that knew about it, just, encourage me, like, you can do it. Some people even still encouraged me to apply with the first result I got, which was eventually what I used, right? The first result that I got was what I used to apply, and I still got in. Now, that was at the beginning stage. That was a challenge that I faced and I surmounted. Now, when I got into the program in itself, it was difficult to follow through because this is me studying from 8 hours behind you guys. You are in class, I am somewhere in Africa in quotes, and I'm trying to understand what the teacher is saying, the professor is saying. Sometimes I'm struggling to even understand the accent. I'm struggling to understand the context of what is, discussed. And it feels like the classmates are just going far ahead. Before the teacher says one, students have raised up their hands and they're saying two, three, four, five, six. And me, I'm still trying to find out what is 0.5. Yeah, I've not even gotten to one, the teacher said. And some people are already on like five, six, seven. So I'm like, okay, what is this? But I just have to give myself grace. Like, okay, you're in a new environment. Just like take it easy. Still try to just do your best, right? And knowing that I was not the only one struggling, that group I talked to you about that we had for people who started their programs but didn't make it, you will go on that group and be like, guys, what's happening? How's your class like? And you're like, I didn't hear anything in class today. You'll be like, okay, good. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, right? So some knowing that you're not the only person in the same shoes were kind of heartwarming and just kind of let you know that, okay, this is a learning
Some
curve.
relief, yeah.
Yeah, it's a learning curve, and somehow you get better. So as time went on, I became more familiar with everything. And then the point of getting my visa as well, it looked like I was not going to be able to travel. We had an instance where the government brought out some type of ultimatum that, if you don't get your visa at a particular time, you'd have to defer your admission to another year. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. So a lot of hoping and praying and just trying to see what can be done. So yeah, that was challenging on its own, but somehow I was able to overcome.
Well, it just what I say gives credence to the idea that it is not, there's no true path that is without its own, struggle sometimes, tough nuts to crack sometimes, and I think that if we focus on the idea that it would not be all smooth sailing, it's possible not to do the things that we should do, right? I mean, one of the things that is not talked about the most is the cultural differences when you're engaging in something that's outside of your own culture. And the fact that you have to acclimatize, the fact that you have to adjust, the fact that you have to, I remember my first couple of interfaces with people in the UK, especially the ones that have some really, really deep accents, you're struggling to hear what they're saying and they're speaking too quickly. Okay, what is going on here? Like, you know, the tougher part is when you are speaking and you can hear yourself clearly and they say they can't hear you.
Right.
You know, there was even a time, and I say this with all sense of caution. Somebody had said he didn't hear me, and I said, I'm making all the effort I can to hear you. So you would have to make effort to hear me as well, because I can't change how I'm speaking.
That's funny.
I had to tell him that because I also was training to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. So, but just coming to that place where you're not, you don't lose your sense of either courage or mission because the environment is different, because people seem to be more fast-paced than you probably understand. People seem to be more maybe even driven and resilient and courageous and bold than you typically understand. I know that there's that cultural beat for us where you literally are submitted to all forms of authority as far as there are forms of authority. And then you come to this kind of learning systems where everyone is on first name basis, including the lecturer. It doesn't matter how the professor is, everybody chats with everybody about the same way. And you're really used to that. And people can question the lecturer whilst in the process, can stop him in his tracks, can ask a question. You might have a question and you're wondering, when do I ask this question? And you're waiting for the right time, or people have gone ahead with asking theirs. And you have to take a period to learn that you can actually ask on the go if you need to, except there was a rule against that. You know, just the acclimatization and the adjustment that is required for you to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
My point with that is there is really no start that is without its own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But you've gone through it.
Right.
And I see that you've gone through to the point where I was going to bring up your YouTube channel. I don't know if you thought I was going to bring it up. You've gone through to the point where you feel like I can't hold this light alone. Like I should show people the ropes. Right. Tell me a little about why you put that up or why you started that.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I didn't come to America knowing that I was going to be a YouTuber or I was going to document my journey or anything. I've always been a very quiet, low-key person. The things that people knew about me was, you know, my business, right? I didn't have a personal Instagram page or whatnot. But then I moved abroad and it's a very funny story. I don't know if I have all the time to go into all the details, but sometime in 2021, I started to feel like there was more that I could do with my time. I started to feel a little bit more free. So you know how starting my program in 2020, everything was so choked, and you know, and then I finally got to the US in December of 2020, started my program in January of 2021, started again rather the second semester. And then I started getting more acclimatized to the system. I started to have more free time, and I was like, free time was not strange to me because all my life I've always been like busy up to one thing or the other. So I was like, okay, I have free time. Wow, what do I do with my free time? And you know, in the process of thinking, at first I realized that it was a time for me to rest. So I took my rest very religiously in the year 2021, even though at the back of my mind I was thinking, okay, God, so what do you want me to do like with this many free time? I feel like there's so much. And then towards the end of 2021, I started to think, okay, you know, I got this whole amazing scholarship and all of that. How about if I start sharing my stories with people? I wasn't sure exactly how. I wasn't sure there were people who wanted this kind of information. And then I think I put up a poll on Instagram just asking people, right, okay, you know, would you like to study abroad? Are you interested in getting an MBA? Is fully funded scholarship something in your mind? You know, things like that. And then drop your email address. So I did that. I still did nothing with the information I got, but I was just like, okay, think like maybe 20 people like registered. So I was like, okay, there are 20 people that are interested in this. Okay. And then I left it. And then come January of 2022, I attended a conference at my church virtually, and then every theme I heard, the things that struck me the most from what the preachers were talking about that I thought were very relevant to me was about documenting things. And suddenly he'd like, okay, you know, you've been talking about, you know, this whole thing, you didn't do anything about it. How about go on YouTube and, you know, start actually documenting and sharing your story and how you got here, right? Don't you think people would be interested in that? So I'm like, okay. And I finally, in 4 days, I got my gear together. I recorded my first video. It was also very close to my birthday. And I was like, okay, let me do this. So I shared it, my first video on my birthday. Like, yeah, you guys, I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not a YouTuber. And so many people were shocked, like, YouTuber, sorry, are you serious? Like, how? But me too, I was very shocked. But well, I did it anyways. People really encouraged me. I guess maybe because it was my birthday, people really encouraged me. So I shared my first video, you know, get to know me, the regular YouTuber style video. And then my third video was about how I got a fully funded scholarship abroad. And, you know, people were really sharing it, saving it, watching it. And I shared the story about how, you know, I got rejected at the first time I applied. I still persevered and I got it. And that really encouraged lots of people. And they're like, okay, you know, let's do it. And from that video alone, so many people, I shared that video in January and people legit took action in that January. And many of them are already in the United States. I mean, they came to the US. Yeah, they came to the US in August of 2022. Some people that did not even know at the beginning of the year that, oh, there was anything that was going to happen for them. But they just watched the video in January of 2022 and in August, they're in the US. So I think it was very huge for me.
I think we might put the link for that video on this podcast just in case.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. My YouTube channel name is Visaya Gracie Abbey.
Great. Right. I mean, that was beautiful. I think the part I'm taking out of it, or what I'm taking out of that, is your flexibility to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you hear this cliche expression, unleash your potentials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things are overflogged, and the same way they're overflogged at the ways that people can ignore them. Mm-hmm. You just feel like they're up again with that, you know, potentials. What are you talking about? You know, what do you even, you know that potentials are? But I reckon that everyone has been seeded with multiple abilities, mm-hmm. you know, gifts. And depending on what you're willing to focus on or mm-hmm. give growth to, you can do as many things as mm-hmm. possible. Right. It's just the idea that the same you that was running a fashion business, you know, has gone through the MBA, but the same you still finds out that, look, I can document things, you know, visually, and finds the skill in herself to record videos, because as far as I'm concerned, it's a skill to do videos. Not everybody can.
Right.
I mean, sitting in front of the camera or standing in front of the camera, whichever one it is a skill. You might have a lot to say, but you don't know how to stand in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You might stand in front of the camera, but the way you're expressing yourself does not appeal to people listening to you or watching you.
Right.
So to do that and begin to do it in such a way that it starts to impact people is a skill in itself. And then more than that, the skill to even have the wisdom that enables people to take action.
Right.
Itself is a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to all of this, because I know that the only thing that keeps anybody able to maximize all of who they are in such a way that influences or impacts other people is the flexibility of growth,
mm-hmm.
flexibility to grow. Is that something that you have ever considered yourself? Like, you know, I want to be everything I can be. Or are these things just happening?
No, they are not just happening. There's a lot of intentionality behind it.
Right.
I see myself as a multi-potentialite. I feel like I have different skills that I have mastered over the years, and there are many more things that I could do, which sometimes could pose as a challenge, because when you have so many ideas, you're like, which way should I go? Right? So it's always good to focus on one thing at a time, and then hits for the next and the next and the next. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, yeah, it requires a lot of intentionality to stay flexible with learning. From when I was in university, in CU, there's something they'll say, oh, we're lifelong learners, right? So along the way of your life, along your path, you're learning something new, you're adapting. If you're in a new place, right, you, somehow your mind is open up to see what are the gaps in this place, how can I make an impact, what can I do, how can I contribute my quota. I have this creator mindset, like I'm creating things, like whether I'm creating fashionable designs or I'm creating videos or I'm creating, but I just want to create something. I want my life to inspire people. I know that there's so much that I have filled myself up with, either through the books I have read or the messages I'm listening to or the things that I have, you know, believed to be true about myself. I know there's so much inside. So, but why would you just be a container that is so full, that is not overflowing? You understand? So I just always think that, you know, the more you use yourself, the more you apply yourself rather to things, the more you learn and the more you inspire people along the way.
And I feel like the most valuable asset that anyone can have is the value that they give in the first
place. Right. Right.
I think it was in 2020 that I found out, or maybe accepted, maybe I thought about it before, but it was in 2020 that I accepted that your most valuable resource, nothing outside of you is, right? Your most valuable resource, and the ability to grow and groom that to the best possible state it can be is your highest investment. That you can do that for yourself is your highest investment.
Right. And
I came to that decision when I found out that with the advent of COVID, and the loss of jobs and the stagnation of businesses, only the resourceful will thrive.
Yes.
You either had something else to machine or you just go down with the times. And I knew in that moment that you are your greatest asset. If you've been investing in things that were going to crash in that period, those things are gone. You would have to recreate whatever you've done. And if you were invested in those things as your source rather than invested in what you've been made, you know, I'd like to look at it as being made a masterpiece. I mean, and that's me alluding to what scripture said. If you are invested in that idea of being a masterpiece or light in itself, that's your biggest asset. And being able to then explore, express that in whichever form it is able to express itself is your greatest investment. Because at the end of the day, your life is just as good as the level of impact that it makes. And
right.
The only way that impact can be made is that there is appropriate value being deployed. Usable value, right? Noticeable and usable value. You know, so I like that, you know, it is not something that just happened. There's the fact that you were intentional about even coming up to that place where you're exploring and expressing things more than the things you knew many years in the past. I'll wrap this up here because I feel like the main goal, which is part of why I believe that adding the video, you know, about your story around, you know, scholarships, admission and school processes and all of that might be helpful for some people. But more than that, I still like you to inspire people with something that you think is notable for anybody that needs to start over education-wise.
I would say, please go for it. If you're listening, there's something in your heart. The fact that you're even listening to this podcast, there's something in your heart that you're reaching for. Right. I may not know it to the specific details, but you clearly know what it is. Go for it. Take the first step. I've said so many things about, you know, how you can start. Take the first step as it pertains to you and just go for it. The clarity that you're seeking for, somehow along the way, it will come. You may not get the full picture of everything. If I'm standing here, I probably cannot see what is 1,000 miles ahead of me. But the more I keep walking forward, I would see, oh, okay, I'll see what's at 100 miles. I'll see what's at 200. I'll see what's at 500 before I finally get to the 1,000. You know, line. But if I just stay in one position, except I have somebody like an helicopter or a giant that I can stand on their shoulder and see the full picture ahead of, which not so many people are privy to doing that, right? I may never know what is ahead. So the first step, please take that step, whatever it is, for you and just go for it. You can absolutely do it. Let my story be a testament to the fact that there's more. You can be more, you can do more. If you put your mind to it, honestly, if you really believe that you can do it, things will just work out for you.
Right. I love the fact that go for it is simply the counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the irony is that if you didn't go for it, time will pass.
Right.
Find out that you should have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And all the fears become worthless when you are done if you go for it. Mm-hmm. I like that you also said that you would see in bits as you move ahead.
Right.
Sometimes people are waiting for clarity to move, forgetting that clarity happens in movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. They're waiting for clarity to move, forgetting that clarity happens in movement. If you're driving a car, you see further as you go further.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the end from the start. You see further.
Mm-hmm.
That literally is how life is many times. You see further right. as you go further. There you have it, guys. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, Fisayo. It was good to have you. And I think maybe we'll still talk about that community we're talking about, right? I'll see how we run that conversation. But right, thank you. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you.
Bye for now.